Good to have everyone here on this holiday weekend, and if you're here visiting, hope you have a wonderful time with your family and friends, and have a good visit here and a good holiday. And good to see all of our members here today to share in this time of worship together, a time of remembering the Lord together, of all the great things the Lord has done for us. And I hope that you are meeting the Lord here, and that you're allowing His Word to transform your life, so that from this moment we may continue to respond with a life of worship and obedience and of following after our Lord and Savior. We are looking forward to the season. In the next 7 weeks, we're having our Wednesday night meals and time of family worship. We'll meet here at 6 p.m. Everyone who comes, you're welcome, invited to bring a side dish, a salad or a side dish or a dessert, and then the meat will be provided. We have our life groups helping with hosting. Hosting means helping to set up, get the drinks out, but everyone's encouraged and needed to bring food items for that time. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors. We are inviting the community to come in. Just for this to be a wonderful time in the middle of the week to be together as family, sharing a meal, share a time with one another. We also having our different men speak. We have a little devotional at the end of our meal time each week, so look forward to that time together. Let me have you imagine the modern-day Palestine hillside. You look at a modern-day Palestine hillside, and you'll see sheep. And these sheep, you'll see them surrounding a shepherd. The shepherd may be in the middle of them. They may be stopped for a moment, and he's there caring for them, meeting their needs, talking to them, finding out if any of them are injured or lame or in need of assistance. You may see them, a shepherd in front of the sheep, and the sheep all trailing behind them. And it'd be very common if you were to watch many shepherds with their different one of their flocks, if they were to gather together in one spot. Now you can imagine as each shepherd is leading towards the center of an open field and all these different flocks meeting together in one spot. And as an outsider, you may be wondering, oh no, this is a big mess. How are the sheep ever going to determine which shepherd to go with? And how is the shepherd ever going to know which sheep are his and which ones aren't? Well, see, a shepherd smells like sheep. Smells like not just any sheep, but smells like his sheep. And his sheep smell like him. And so after a time of visiting with other shepherds, as each shepherd would leave a meeting, they would just give out their call. They would begin to speak words, and the sheep that were with that shepherd would know his voice and follow that shepherd. And as each one would leave, the right sheep would follow the right shepherd. No matter what other shepherds were saying, no matter what other calls or words any other shepherd would be saying, only the sheep that knew his own shepherd would follow that man, that person. You see the shepherds leading the sheep to green pastures. You see them knowing where the water was, knowing where the danger is, and leading them into good lands. You would see them knowing the names of his sheep and also assuming great responsibility for the life and care of each and every one. Even if one was to get lost, he would leave the multitude and go find that lost one that was stuck in a ditch, stuck in a tree, or being chased down by a wild animal. See, God refers to his beautiful picture of the work of a shepherd. And God speaks throughout Scripture of his leaders as shepherds. He's used that identification and that metaphor to talk about what he expects and requires of his leaders in his family, and even the leaders in his church. We see the model shepherd in the life of David. How David was a shepherd boy while the brothers and the Israelites were off to war. And God was working something great to bring about a new leader for his people. But the one that he was really ready to call was this little boy David, who was out tending the flock. The one who was getting dirty, the one who was leading, the one who was protecting, the one who was caring over his sheep. This is the shepherd that would pray, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." See, David, as the model shepherd, knew that he was yet but a sheep in the flock of his great shepherd, his God, Yahweh. He's the shepherd that God would say, this is a man after my own heart. This is a shepherd that would be faithful to the sheep that he was leading, but also faithful to his God whom he was following. We see this description throughout the prophets. We see this description, obviously, to the model of the ultimate good shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's many different titles that and descriptions we could give to our Lord that would paint a very good picture of giving us a snapshot of who our Lord and Savior is. But I love the picture that we get in John chapter 10 of Jesus being the good shepherd. And when someone would mention what a good shepherd was and who a good shepherd is, they would know what you were talking about. Because of the sheep and all the many shepherds, all the many different shepherds that were amongst the hills of Palestine, and they knew the good ones who the sheep would follow. They also knew the ones who were not faithful, because they'd seen many sheep that were scattered that had no shepherd. And there are many reasons why a sheep would go without a shepherd, and we'll get into some more of that in our weeks to come. Talking about how a sheep can get scattered and be lost and lose their shepherd. Well, in John chapter 10, the backdrop for Jesus talking about this discourse about him being the gate for the sheep, him being the good shepherd, the backdrop is the blatant irresponsibility of the Jewish leadership. They had lost their responsibility for their flock, and they weren't leading as good shepherds. Sadly, the corruption characteristic of Jewish leaders was nothing new in Jesus' day. And we get a snapshot. We're going to be in Ezekiel 34. We turn to Ezekiel 34. We're going to be going to John 10, but also going to spend some time back and forth in Ezekiel 34. We read this, like I said, this idea of shepherds being distorted and being irresponsible and forgetting their duties as responsible for God's flock. We see here in Ezekiel 34, 1 and following, the Lord addresses this issue. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man," the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, "prophesy, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flocks? You eat curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice lambs, but you do not care for the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there were no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over the mountains, and on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." So we have this picture of a shepherd who was not doing their job. And if you keep your hand there in Ezekiel 34, we'll be coming back to there. That is a backdrop for now in John chapter 10, as the scripture was read in John 10, 1 through 6. We'll read that again. Now he says, "I tell you, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." So we see this example of the shepherd's voice. The sheep will follow a shepherd who he knows their voice. And the voice becomes known because the shepherd spends time with them and they stay near to him. They speak and they listen. He speaks and he leads and they follow. And they become very well known, and they respond to His voice. They don't even have to look at Him. All they have to do is be hearing for His voice, having trust and confidence and obedience in the faithfulness of their shepherd, that anything He says, they're in tune to, and they turn and they obey and they follow. The sheep know His shepherd's voice. They trust Him. They listen. They follow. And we know, of course, they're not talking about sheep, are they? They're talking about the people of Israel. And they're not talking about just shepherds, but they're talking about the leaders, the ones responsible for the people of Israel. There was a video of a father talking about his newborn child. And this baby was, it had just been cleaned up, had it in the little warming table, the little weighing table where the nurses come and do all their, procedures and examinations, and the baby is there. And even though as warm as that those warming tables are, of course, the baby was there left alone, and she was crying, doing what babies do. And the father comes in and notices baby crying, and he begins to say her name. Portland. Portland. The baby's name is Portland. Portland. It's okay. Portland. And as the baby began, of course, it was a newborn baby, eyes really closed and just screaming and wiggling around like they do. And as the baby heard the father's voice, she began to stop crying. Just completely calmed down. And then there was a few moments later where the nurses came in and put a diaper on. Of course, the nurse there and, having her cold hands working with the baby again. Of course, the Portland began crying again. And she was crying out like babies do, eyes closed and arms wiggling around. And the father again, now at this time, he says, "Portland, Portland, it's okay, I'm here." And the baby begins to calm down, and then he says, "Portland, I love you." And at that moment, the baby's eyes opened and began looking and searching for her father. That father had to have been around that mother when she was pregnant. See, he had to be there. And then this voice was a known voice to this child. Of course, a baby is going to know the mother's voice because it's there. They're there together. But what a special connection that a father can have with a child even before being seen, before even laying eyes, before even having any physical interaction. Just by the sound of the known father's voice, a child is able to listen and is hearing for that and can put their trust and will be able to have comfort in the Father's voice. See, a sheep knows a good shepherd's voice. A child knows a good father and mother's voice. And so also, good followers of Christ, we should also know our Father's voice. We should know our good shepherd's voice. But do we always know His voice? Are we always hearing for His voice? Are we always listening? Are we always responding to His voice? Or is His voice become the stranger's voice? Whose voice is the strange voice? See, here in John chapter 10, he says that about that a foreign voice comes in and says, "I tell you the truth, that the man who does not enter the sheep by the pen, but climbs in by some other, is a thief and a robber." And then he goes on back at verse 5. You see this bracket of the stranger's voice and then of the good shepherd's voice in between there. And in verse 5 it says, "But they will never follow a stranger's voice." See, sheep don't follow strange voices. They don't follow voices they don't know. The problem is that here, Jesus using this metaphor, the example that He knows His voice was the strange voice. The religious leaders were not listening to Him. They were not responding to Him. And that's why we get the confrontation. They were blind to Him. Why would they ever look to Him? Because they weren't listening. The newborn baby did not look to the Father until it heard the voice and was hearing that known voice, to have trust in the Father's voice, to then look and turn and respond. They thought they were right in how they were living, but they were blind. They didn't really know God because they had stopped listening to God's voice. God sent His Son to be Him in the flesh, to be His representation, to speak His words, but yet they were not listening. They did not hear. They did not recognize because they had stopped listening to the voice of God. And perhaps they had not stopped listening, but they were misinterpreting what they were hearing from the words of God. They misinterpreted the Scriptures and the ways of God, and they began to trust in their own voices. And they began to trust in the ways of other men. And yes, even the religious men had gotten it wrong. They didn't recognize Jesus as the Father. They didn't trust and obey Him as the Father. And they didn't see and follow Him as the Father because they didn't know His voice. In our work in Oklahoma, every summer we would take our youth group down to Impact Church of Christ in Houston. And it was an inner city church down there, and they ran a summer program, amazing church to begin with. But every summer they bust in 300 or 400 kids for a 6-week long vacation Bible school. And each week they bring in an extra youth group, fresh bodies like ours, to come and help them and help run this program. Great program, a reading program, food, VBS, great time loving on the kids. Well, one of the special parts of this whole, of each week was they got to go on a field trip. Well, this was an exciting time for the kids, but this was also one of the, probably the most nervous times for me. Because what they would do, now throughout the week, you know, our kids, our leaders would get to know some of the other kids pretty well. But just in a very 3 or 4 days, how well do you really get to know somebody? And how well do you really get to build trust and confidence in someone? Well, they would put the kids, 3 or 4 kids, with each leader. And to say, you are responsible for these kids. Now, as being an older leader in the group, they would usually put me with whoever was kind of left over. And these are probably usually kids that I didn't get to know in those prior 3 days. And what they would do is they would take their names, they name Asia and Juan and Joseph, and give me an armband and put their names on my hand, our arm, so I'd have 3 armbands with these 3 kids that I've never seen probably the whole time. I mean, 300 kids, and now these 3, I'm looking at them, and then they get an armband with my name on it that they put on their name, on their wrist. So they have Brian, 3 of them, Brian. I have Asia, Juan, and Joseph. And I'm thinking, oh no, I gotta keep up with these kids. They don't know me and I don't know them. And they don't, and how am I gonna keep track of them? Well, we would go to a place like a zoo, okay? And we get all to the gate and then they say, okay, we all gotta be back here in 2 hours, go! And now I'm responsible for keeping track of leading, making sure that these kids are okay, that they don't get lost, they don't get hurt. Kids that I've never even been with. They don't know me, and I don't know them. And I learned very quickly that they don't know who I am, and they don't know my voice because they begin running off, and I'm saying, Asia, and Juan, and Joseph, and they are just running the other way. My voice, and even my voice saying their name, means nothing to them. Because they don't know me, they don't trust me, they've never heard my voice. And what I have to do is I have to run after them, grab a hold of them, as I'm grabbing one, grab the next one, and as I'm grabbing 2 of them, grab the last one. The whole time I'm yelling their names, Asia, Juan, and Joseph, and they're not responding. They're not listening for my voice. They don't know me, they don't know my voice, and so my voice means absolutely nothing to them. Until I grab them and calmly say, look at me. Look at me. I'm Brian. They're like, who are you? I'm like, look at your armband. And they go, oh yeah, I'm with you. No, you're not. You're not with me. You're running off. We need to be together. See? And they're like, I'm not supposed to be with you. And I say, I have your name, Asia, Juan, and Joseph, right here. And so we have to listen. They have to say, look at me. I know listening doesn't always work. You know, voice sometimes doesn't mean anything. I say, look at me. I'm responsible for you. I want us to have a good time, but I don't want you to get lost. I don't want you to, I want to be there for you if you get hurt or you get tired or you need something. I'm here to take care of you. I want to help you have a good time. And then we would sometimes, let's hold hands. You know, let's keep up. You know, respond to me when I say something. So working on them hearing and trusting and knowing my voice. But yet I was responsible because these names were on my wrist and I was committed to them. If they were to run off, I'd have to run. If I had 2 of them and I lost one, I'm sorry, Sorry, Juan. Sorry, Joseph, but we're not going anywhere else. We're not going to see the hippos. We're not going to see the giraffes. We're going to miss out until we find the lost one. They didn't know us because they weren't listening to our voices. They didn't respond to us. They didn't obey and trust and follow us. And so we had to work on getting to know each other. Why ask you, what are the voices you're listening to? What are the voices that you are obeying and following? What are the known voices in your life that you do keep your ears open, you do respond, and you do follow, and you do obey? You ever watch a commercial and you hear a voice that's kind of like an over voice, a voiceover, and you go, hey, I know that voice. I've heard that somewhere. You know, who's the voice of Luke? I am your father. James Earl Jones. Someone say Darth Vader, but that's not the real person. James Earl Jones. We know that voice. I know that voice. And if you ever hear that James Earl Jones voice somewhere else, you're going to say, that's Darth Vader. Then you go, wait, that's not a real person. It's James Earl Jones. Or you ever seen the movie March of the Penguins? Whose voice is that? Morgan Freeman, right? Another great, awesome voiceover. A lot of these animated films, you know, Pixar, Disney films, or DreamWorks films, and every time I watch one of those, I go, I know that person. That sounds like somebody I know. I recognize that voice. Who's the voice of Woody from Toy Story? Tom Hanks. You can hear it, right? I'll give you one more. You guys are pretty good. They're doing pretty good, huh, Paige? How about Dory? Just keep swimming. Ellen DeGeneres, right? These are voices that we've heard. We've given our time to. We know them. And we know their voices. We can see their face. And we're drawn into them. But can you recognize the voice of Jesus? Is His voice the voice inside your head that you trust? Is when you hear things going on, are you hearing the voice and the words? Oh, that sounds like the Lord. That sounds like Jesus. Is those something that words that and voices that you trust? Is His voice one you listen to, one you obey, and one you follow? Is His voice the voice of reason inside your head? Is His voice the one that helps you see this world? That you have a Jesus view of the world, a Christ-centered worldview. As you look through things, you're looking it through His voice and His face, in His words, in His action. Is His voice the voice of comfort? When you're distraught, where does your mind go? Who are you looking for when you hear His voice? Is His voice the source of everlasting hope? Is His voice the voice of the Prince of Peace to help you to be still and know that there is God? Is His voice the moral compass for your life? That gives you the foundation for deciding what's right and what's wrong and what you should choose to do and what not to do. And if He is the voice, are you obeying His voice? Because even if someone knows the voice, you don't always obey it. Oh yeah, I heard you. Then why didn't you do it? Well, I heard you. Well, if you're listening and if you know His voice, then are you obeying? Are you spending time knowing the voice of the Lord? Are you spending time, investing time, coming before the Lord in time of daily Bible reading? As a follower of Christ, as you are growing and maturing, if you're not in God's Word daily, I really ask you, why aren't you? Why aren't you listening to His voice every day? What is the most important voice? Is it the moral compass? Is He the Prince of Peace? Is He the sound of comfort? Is He the voice of reason? Is He the Good Shepherd? He is. But if we stop listening, we soon forget and we allow all the other voices to fill our mind. You know, what do you spend time? What voices do you do spend your time in front of? Are there certain news stations you watch every single day? Are there certain newspapers you read every single day? Are there certain sports channels you watch every single day? Are there certain sites, websites you go onto every single day to listen to those voices? Are you committed to certain other people in your life that you talk to every single day to listen to those voices? And what are those voices telling you? What is the agenda of all those other voices? Is it of the Lord? And if you're giving time for that, then you don't know the Good Shepherd. You're not listening to His voice because you're getting caught up in that life and in following those paths and getting on those tracks of life and those purposes and those morals and those foundations. What about your quiet time? Do you have quiet time to be still, to cut all the voices, to turn everything off, to put that phone away, to turn the TV off, put the paper down, to be still and know that there is God? Because this is the relationship that the shepherd talks and the sheep listen, and then the sheep talk and the Father listens. Are we spending time knowing His voice, hearing His voice, following His voice, and obeying His voice, so that anytime He speaks, our eyes open and we see Him and we respond and we find comfort and we find direction? Is Jesus' voice becoming the strange voice? Is His voice becoming more and more distant, more and more unknown? He is a voice that's worth our time, worth our attention, worth our devotion. Go back to Ezekiel. Listen to what type of shepherd we have that's worth listening to. Ezekiel 34:11-16. For this reason, because my shepherds get off track, because the other voices aren't always faithful. Verse 11. For this reason, what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in the good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Lord. I will search the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Is not God a good shepherd? Look at what He is committed to. He's in covenant with you to do for you, to lead you, to guide you, protect you, to lead you to good pasture, to give you a land, to give you a life of prosperity and success. And regardless of our disregard, He still is the Good Shepherd. He still knows us and He's still seeking after us. We don't give Him time. He never has time off. He's always coming after and searching, ready for us to respond and hear His voice and turn and follow. But look around. Where is the flock? Where is the flock? Where are the generations? Where are the flocks that are following around you? Do they know the Great Shepherd, or is He a stranger? And why is He a stranger? Have they not heard? Or if they did hear at one time, have they stopped hearing? Have they stopped hearing the name and the words and the Scriptures of Jesus being spoken? Have they stopped listening? Or have we stopped listening? And maybe we've stopped listening. We know when people have stopped listening because they stopped speaking the words of Jesus. We know people have stopped listening when they stopped acting like Jesus. We know they stopped listening to Jesus when they stopped telling the stories of Jesus. Do we need to do a better job of listening? Spending time with the Lord so that these are the things that are filling our hearts, filling our mouths, filling our actions, so that the sheep that are around us can see and know the Good Shepherd. Jesus has become the stranger. Who knows the voice of Jesus? You know, to the young Christian or the unbeliever or the lost sheep, it doesn't matter what He says. It doesn't matter what He says because they don't know His voice. It's like those kids running off. It doesn't matter what I say because they don't know my voice. So Jesus is proclaiming and is speaking, but if they aren't listening for Him, they won't hear Him. And if they don't hear Him, they won't obey Him. They don't obey because He's not their Lord. He's not their Lord. They're not committed to Him that way. He's got their names on His wrist, but His name is off of their wrist. He says, "You're mine. Look at, your names are here." And they go, "You're not mine. I lost you a while ago. That fell off years ago." But He says, "You're mine. Look at me. Look at me." And He gets down with them. And He reminds them again. They don't see or hear Him because maybe those words aren't being spoken around them. They're spending their time hearing so many other voices. And who's the voice they need to hear? It might be yours. It might be your voice proclaiming the name of Jesus. Speaking of your good shepherd around your life. You know, we're in a time much like what Joshua faced at the end of his time. Joshua was committed after Moses of continuing to tell the good things about God, the good thing about what God had done for them. Joshua was committed, as far as me and my household, we will serve the Lord, and of retelling and reminding generations after generations. He was committed to listening and obeying. He was committed to His people staying faithful and for knowing the voice of God. But I feel that maybe we're in a time just like what he spoke about in Judges chapter 2. It says after what the writer of Judges spoke after Joshua had passed. Judges 2:10. After that, after the time of Joshua, a whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. When the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook Him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. Are we in a time like this where people are forsaking the Lord? They forsook the goodness of the Lord. And why? Because they stopped hearing and knowing and listening. And how are they going to hear unless we speak? How are they going to hear unless we share? Unless we read? Unless we're so committed that this is flowing out of our lives and out of the examples of how we're living and our actions that we are performing and the things that we are doing in our lives to know that Jesus is Lord and He is the Good Shepherd and there is no other way except through Him. And that means other things are going to have to go away. They forsook the Lord, and what they do, and if you're going to give up on the Lord, you're going to take on something else. You're going to be worshiping and following something else. They forsook the Lord and began to follow other gods, other ways, bowing down and giving their lives to other ways of living. John the Revelator speaks of a church in Laodicea where he comes to, and there's a famous painting of Jesus knocking at a door. Jesus knocking at a door. There's no handle on the outside. The handle is only on the inside. And John the Revelator in Revelation 3:19-20 says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." "Here I am," he says. "I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and he with me." The sad thing is, he is knocking. And the people look out of the house and see him knocking and go, "I don't know who that is. I don't see who that is knocking." And they call out, "It is me, the Lord. Let me come in." And they don't know his voice. That's a strange voice, so he doesn't come in. But yet he is calling and he is knocking. See, we have to know him. We have to know his voice. And to know his voice, we have to be listening. And if we listen and we know him, then we have to let him in. But is Jesus' voice a strange voice? Is his voice the stranger's voice? His sheep will not follow a strange voice. They'll only follow the voices that they're listening to and that they know. Whose voice are you following today? Others can tell by your words. Others can tell by your actions. Others can tell by your values. Others can tell by how whether you love the Lord or you love the world. Are you about the kingdom of earth or the kingdom of God? It's time to repent. It's time to repent. Every one of us. Every one of us, it's time to repent. To repent of the other voices. To repent of how we selfishly use our time and we forsake the Lord. And we follow other gods of today. Where's the flock? Where are the generations? Where's the flock around you? Children of God, fellow disciples, fellow leaders, fellow shepherds, who are the names on your wrist? Who are the names on your wrist that you are responsible for? The Lord has put in your life. Or that you'd like to say, you know what? It's not there, but I want to put this one there. And I want to put this one there. And I'm going to put this one there. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to give up whatever it takes to not lose any of these that the Lord has entrusted around me and in my life. We all should have a flock. Every disciple is meant to be a disciple maker. To have other disciples around us. As we are following, others should follow us. So where is your flock? Where are the generations? Whose names are on your wrist? Who are you responsible for to grab a hold of? Maybe you're saying Jesus and you're praying Jesus and you're reminding once in a while of Jesus, but yet they're not listening and they're not following. Maybe you need to grab a hold of them and say, hey, I love you. Hey, you're not going a good way. You're not going a direction. Those other voices are false voices. The other ways of living are not right ways of living. And I, you know what? I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not got it right. I make mistakes too. I give my time up the wrong ways. I listen to the wrong things. I do the wrong things. But I know the one good shepherd. And He is the only way in. And His voice has become strange and it should become good. And so I'm committed to you. And you may not like me. You may not want me here. You may want, let me go, let me go. No. Your name is on my wrist. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go in that path. I'm not going to let you keep getting stuck and get you be devoured in the other direction you're going. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to mend you. I'm going to be committed to you. Because I want you to be committed not to me, but to the Lord, who is my good shepherd, who does take care of me, who is with me when I'm in the ditch, when I'm messed up, when I'm doing the things that I see you are doing. And He is so good. He is so good. Hear the good news of the good shepherd, of what He's committed to in Ezekiel 34, 25, this is God, the Good Shepherd, and the same commands of what we have in our Lord Jesus. He says, I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of all the wild beasts, so that they may live in the land and live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will do the dirty work. I will fight the enemies. I will remove the attacks, and I will bring you peace. I will bless them, 26. I will bless them in the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in seasons. There will be showers of blessings. The trees of the field will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will be safe. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars off their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who have enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety. And no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops. They will no longer be victims of famine in the land, nor bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, listen, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and are my people. And I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Do you know the voice of God? Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Can you hear Him calling? Can you hear Him calling you? Are you listening? And listening, will you turn and look and will you obey? And will you follow Him today? If you would like to follow Him, then come. Come, let that be known. Say, enough is enough. I want it to be heard and known that I am following the Lord. There is no one else who is my good shepherd. Will you come and repent? And let it be known, yes, I confess. I am listening to all the wrong voices and using my time for all the wrong things. I have forsaken the Lord. I'm ready to turn from that and follow the Good Shepherd. Would you like to come and share your conviction that says, Lord, has really struck in my heart. The Shepherd has spoken. I hear His voice. Then come. Get away from all the other voices and come. If you're outside of Christ this morning, if you're outside and have gotten away and don't know that voice of the Lord, and you like to come near, and you like to respond, and you like to repent, and you like to go full in and say, enough is enough, I'm giving it all to the Lord, and I want to become His disciples, I want to be committed to His flock, then come, for the Good Shepherd is calling. Come now, as we stand and sing.